This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. This is Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. I am actually broadcasting today from the new location of the Atlanta Healing Center. We're very happy to be in our new home and would invite our listeners to check us out on the web at AtlantaHealingCenter.com. And if you need more information about our services, please feel free to call us as well at 770-696-9862. We are going to be offering a whole new part of the Atlanta Healing Center starting the 1st of February. This has come out of an interesting situation where many of our patients, families, friends, relatives, community members have heard about some of the services that we provide, like the brain mapping and the neurofeedback, hormonal testing, acupuncture, and other wellness services. Many of them have been interested in accessing those services, so we have been able to develop the Atlanta Wellness Center as well for people who don't have the disease of addiction but are interested in having some of the health and wellness services. So please feel free to contact us. That's at the Atlanta Healing Center, and we will be happy to help you find a way to new health, improve performance, and a much better day. Next week, I would like to give you a heads up that our friend Professor Murray Kelly from the Tobacco Healing Center up in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, will be our guest on the show, and he will be talking about another component of our wellness program, which is recovery from tobacco dependence. So please make a note of that on your calendar and be sure and tune in next week so that you can hear more about Professor Kelly and also about the Atlanta Wellness Center and our program for folks who would like to stop smoking and have really had a hard time. Today's show is focusing on a group of individuals that we don't usually think of when we are thinking about the disease of addiction. If I were to ask you as a listener to picture in your mind the first image that comes in your mind when I say drug addict or an alcoholic, I am sure there would be a variety of images that you would experience. Some of you may see a homeless person on the street. Some of you may see a rock star or a film star who you know has been in the news and struggling. You might have a variety of images, including family members or loved ones who may be suffering with the disease. But most people don't get the image of an elderly gentleman, a grandmother figure. Those are not the folks that we think of when we think about the disease of addiction. Unfortunately, these are also not the folks that medical doctors and dentists and other healthcare providers identify as people who are potentially at risk for the disease of addiction. And we are having in our country what has been called a hidden national epidemic of alcohol and substance dependence among our elderly. In fact, this is the fastest growing group that is seeking treatment, being identified as needing treatment, no matter what age. This group, the elderly 65 and older, which doesn't sound that elderly to me, frankly, but this particular group is the fastest growing group in terms of problems with substance use. A study done at the University of Kentucky identified about 2.5 million older adults. 21% of hospitalized patients who are in the 65 and older age group are actually presenting in the hospital for alcohol-related problems. Alcohol. We don't think about our elderly population as having a problem with alcohol, and yet we, in my business, see over and over again and hear time and time again stories about older gentleman or an older woman who has been living an extremely productive life, has been active in the community, and involved with their family. When they go to retirement age, one of the things that happens as they move into this new stage of their life is they suddenly have more free time, fewer restrictions. They don't have to be up and at the office by 8 a.m. They don't have to be to bed at any particular time. Their schedule is much more open, and they have more time that they can spend in leisure activities. Many of them find themselves actually using more drugs and alcohol than they ever did before in their life. I have seen a number of individuals, unfortunately, that have maybe used alcohol or other medications in what we would call a, quote, normal way, end quote, throughout their life. But as they move into this transition period of retirement, or one of their spouse dies, or there's a major change in their physical health, suddenly what was not a problem before has become a really, really big problem. And they are finding themselves not only with impairment in terms of their physical health, their emotional health, but they are finding themselves having a very difficult time accepting and getting into treatment for the disease of addiction. This is a growing problem, and it's one that was highlighted on January 12th by the National Institute of Health. They released a study that was done at Yale University identifying the fact that benzodiazepines, these are medications that are often used for anxiety disorders, sleep disorders, or as a muscle relaxant for chronic pain syndromes. These medications are now being prescribed in a growing amount and growing numbers for patients who are over the age of 65. In fact, when we look at individuals ages 65 to 80, 31% of these folks are taking prescriptions for a long-term use. These medications are recommended for short-term use. They are not meant to be chronic medications, and they create a number of difficulties. These particular medications are central nervous system depressants. That means that they can have effects not only on a level of arousal, they make people sleepy, they can affect memory. These substances will cause impairment in the hippocampus, which is the part of our brain that takes down the information that we've learned in a day, the experiences that we have had, and cross-references them at night when we're sleeping through our dreams into longer-term memories. When you are taking benzodiazepines, these medications actually interfere with the conversion of short-term and immediate memory into long-term memory. Now, we as physicians take advantage of this all the time. Often, we will pre-medicate patients before painful procedures or surgeries using benzodiazepines, not only just to relax the person and have them be less anxious, but also because of the direct effect that it will have on the person's memory, so that they won't have any recollection at all of the procedure that they just had, like their colonoscopy, or the surgery they just had. these kinds of medications can have a significant impact on an older person who may be in the early stages of mild cognitive impairment or in stages of dementia. They can increase the chance that they will be confused. They can increase the chance that they will have more and more problems with their memory. And they also affect balance and coordination. As you know, when we get older, we are much more likely to have problems with falling, with tripping over things, to be a little more unsteady. Our muscles are less strong. Our bones are certainly weaker. We are at risk for falls, and we're at risk for breaking bones. When you are taking a benzodiazepine, your reaction time is slowed. Your balance is off. The way you walk may change, and this may put you at greater and greater risk for a fall. This is a big problem, and this is one of the reasons that the National Institute of Health is raising a warning to physicians to be very, very careful. Benzodiazepines are the number one prescription drug used in America. 85 million prescriptions were written in 2005. Here in Georgia, we know that Xanax itself is the most frequently prescribed medication. And when we look at who is actually getting this medication, we see that the vast majority of folks are actually in the 65 to 80 age group. This is of significant concern because of the complications that can occur with short-term and certainly with long-term use. Women are twice as likely as men to receive this particular type of drug. And among women ages 65 to 80, the study at Yale University shows that 1 in 10 were prescribed a benzodiazepine, a muscle relaxant, or a sleep medication of an addictive nature, with almost a third of these, as I mentioned earlier, receiving these medications for long-term treatment. We are going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the concern around prescription medications for the elderly, but we're also going to look at the role alcohol may be playing in some of the problems that we see with our elderly loved ones. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be right back.
This is David Donaldson with the Atlanta Healing Center, conveniently located in Lawrenceville, Georgia. At AHC, your success is our goal. Addiction recovery is about more than just not using. It's about becoming a whole person and addressing all aspects of your physical, psychological, and social needs. Please call us at 770-696-9862, or you can reach us on the web at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is Tracy Pearson with Prissy Tomboy. Listen to the Prissy Tomboy radio show every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time as I interview special guests that will inspire adventure and fitness for females.
This is Dr. George. Join me Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock for Medicine on Call. On Medicine on Call, we talk about more than medicine. It's about how to take control of your mind, body, and spirit.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Susan Blank, broadcasting from the Atlanta Healing Center. We have moved. We are now in Norcross, Georgia, conveniently located just off Highway Interstate 85 on Steve Lawrence Boulevard. I will be giving you more detailed contact information in the next segment. So I would invite you to get a pen or paper and record our new address as well as phone number and our website. I'd also like to encourage you to listen to the Prissy Tomboy Show, which will be coming on Tuesday afternoons immediately after Detailing Addiction. A big supporter of the Prissy Tomboy Sports Fitness and Foundation. Their founder, Tracy Pearson, has been a guest on our show, and we're very excited that she's joining America's Web Radio and our America's Web Radio family. So please just get comfortable and listen to Prissy Tomboy Show following the Atlanta Healing Center and Detailing Addiction. We've been talking in our first segment about the growing problem with addiction, prescription drug abuse, and alcoholism in our elderly population. We were talking about benzodiazepines and the fact that these particular medications that are used to treat anxiety and sleep problems, medications like Xanax or Valium, Ativan, they may also be known as Alprazolam. That's the generic name for Xanax, and it is now available generically, so sometimes the names on the prescriptions may not be fitting the names that that you might be hearing, and many people are not aware of the potential problems associated with benzodiazepines. Not only are they highly addictive and very dangerous in sudden withdrawal, they have a number of other problems that we are seeing, particularly for women and particularly for older women. They were really meant short-term to treat anxiety or to treat sleep. They were originally prescribed primarily by psychiatrists. And as a psychiatrist, we learned to be very cautious and very judicious in our prescribing of benzos because of the long-term difficulties. Trying to get someone off of Xanax or Alprazolam is a very difficult process, and patients can have significant side effects, up to and including withdrawal seizures. This is not for the faint of heart, and a prescription for these medications should not be just given because someone says they're feeling a little bit anxious or they're not sleeping so well. These are really meant for a specific reasons and for short-term use only. Unfortunately, as we look at who is actually prescribing these medications, we find that most of the benzodiazepines in this country are not written by psychiatrists. They're written by non-psychiatrists, many times primary care doctors, OBGYNs, other doctors who, well-meaning, trying to help their patients with symptom relief, will prescribe these medications. Two-thirds of the prescriptions are written for long-term use, have actually been written by non-psychiatrists. And we are aware that for adults, elderly adults, 65 to 80, 9 out of 10 of the benzodiazepine prescriptions are written by non-psychiatrists. And they are written for at least a third of them, or two-thirds of them, I'm sorry, are written for long-term use. And we see, again, that women are much more likely to be given benzodiazepines, about twice as likely, and much more likely to have a long-term prescription for them. Benzodiazepines, as we talked about before, can impair your thinking process, your judgment, decrease your impulse control. You can have problems with your mobility, moving around. You have also impaired driving skills, reaction time, very much like having a stiff drink. Many of us would never think of getting in a car after consuming a fair amount of alcohol, but hardly anyone thinks about the risk that they are taking in getting behind the wheel while taking benzodiazepines. People do it all the time, and our elderly population are doing it more and more. There's also a recent study released that found an association between the use of benzodiazepines in older people and the increased risk of those folks developing Alzheimer's disease. This is and should be of great concern to all of us. All of us, our goal is to get older. Our goal is to live full and complete lives, and our goal is to do that in a very healthy way. It is not a good idea to be taking medications that may limit our ability to live a healthy and productive life, and certainly none of us wants to develop a dementia. So something to think about, something to look at, and certainly something to review. All of this being said, if you are taking benzodiazepines or if a loved one is, the ideal thing to do is to go and talk to your doctor, talk to who is prescribing, and ask them for a reasonable taper plan. As an outpatient, this may take 3 or 4 months to safely and carefully lower the dose. Please, please, please do not just stop these medications. If you've been taking them for more than 3 weeks, you are probably physiologically dependent upon them. This means that you will have the potential of a withdrawal syndrome that, like I said earlier, could include withdrawal seizures. This is something that needs to be handled safely and in a correct medical management way, under the direction of a physician who knows how to taper people off of these medications. One of the other things that you need to be aware of is the escalation of the dose. Now, we've talked about pain medicine before. With benzodiazepines, we have the same syndrome of developing tolerance. Excuse me. Developing tolerance, which means that your brain gets used to having a certain amount of these medications, and therefore it begins to create more receptor sites. Over time, anybody, I'm not just talking about people with a disease of addiction, but anyone will need to take more of the medication to get the same result. That being said, we need to be really, really careful about confusing the natural need to increase the medication with someone who may have the disease of addiction and is more rapidly escalating the dose, running out of their prescriptions early. The tolerance develops over months to years. Addiction, we see the increase in doses happening over days and weeks. So if you or your loved one is running out of medication early, borrowing from other family members or friends, or going to several doctors to get their prescriptions for the medication, you need to be very careful and cautious, because not only might you have a problem with someone developing physiological dependence and a serious withdrawal syndrome, you may also be dealing with someone who has the disease of addiction. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about elderly, alcohol, and substance abuse. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. Please stay tuned.
Hello, this is Michael Daly with Atlanta Healing Center. We know that addiction is a brain disease. Addiction is a family disease. Addiction is a treatable disease. We have a caring professional staff with over 30 years experience to help you and your loved ones in your recovery. You can reach us at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Have you tuned into the Master Gardener Hour lately? We have a brand new look. Come and join me, the new host, Kate Copsey, every Saturday at 11 a.m. on America's Web Radio.
This is Tracy Pearson at Prissy Tomboy. Are you looking for a way to inspire your pre-teen to teen girl to get outside and play? Listen to the Prissy Tomboy Radio Show every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. This is Detailing Addiction. I reminded you to have pencil and paper ready so that you can take down our new address. Our phone number at the Atlanta Healing Center has not changed. It remains 770-696-9862. That's 770-696-9862. Our address is 3985 Steve Reynolds Boulevard. That's 3985 Steve Reynolds Boulevard, Building P in Norcross, Georgia, 30093. And our website has not changed. That's www.atlantahealingcenter.com. We also are taking appointments for our wellness track. So if you have interest in improving your hormonal status, nutritional status, you have chronic pain and or acute pain and might need some help with an expert in acupuncture, or if you're interested in the brain mapping and neurofeedback, please call us now at 770-696-9862. Before our break, we were talking about the surprising increase that we are seeing and actually what the National Institute of Health is calling a national epidemic of medication abuse and alcoholism in the elderly. Most of us don't think about grandma or grandpa or great aunt Sally having a problem with addiction. Most of us think that the problems that our loved one might be having because they keep falling or they fall asleep or they can't remember things are related to symptoms of old age. But I have to tell you that's not the case. And I want to remind you that addiction comes in all shapes and sizes. It affects all Americans in one way or another, either directly through their own genetically inherited disease of addiction or through loved ones, friends, and other family members that have suffering with the disease. So it doesn't look like what most of us think about. It's not like what we see in the movies. Many people can be living relatively normal lives and still be suffering. With our elderly population, we're seeing more and more of them wanting to live a healthier and more robust life, and yet finding that they are now having a significant problem because of the direct toxic effects of alcohol and other prescription drugs. Now, elderly drug and alcohol. We're going to focus for a moment for the next few minutes on alcohol. Elderly alcohol abuse can be divided into two general types. There are what we call the hardy survivors, those who've been abusing alcohol for many years. Perhaps they worked in a career that required them to entertain or to frequently attend conferences or trade shows. So using alcohol was part of a lifestyle. Maybe they were members of country clubs or had just gotten into a routine of having a few drinks each night before they go to bed or when they first get home from work. Something happens, though, as we age. And that what was probably an acceptable level of alcohol intake, one drink, standard drink, we've talked about what those are, but I will remind you, a standard drink is a 12-ounce beer, a regular gravity, regular alcohol content beer, an ounce and a half of hard liquor, 4 ounces of red wine, 5 ounces of white wine. These are what we would call a standard drink. So for women, one drink per day or no more than 7 per week. For a man, it's been suggested that 2 standard drinks per day, no more than 14 per week, are within reasonably healthy limits. However, once you get above 65, the recommendation is now one drink, whether you're a man or a woman, and no more than 7 drinks per week. What you were able to metabolize because you had a young and healthy liver, you are now going to have more difficulty metabolizing, and you're going to be more likely to suffer not only increased effects of intoxication, but more damage to liver, to your heart, your cardiovascular system. You're more likely to have problems with your cognition, with your brain, and as we talked about right before the break, you may be more likely to have dementia. So what was probably acceptable earlier, now that you're taking other medications that are also competing in your liver for the metabolism of alcohol, the recommendations for alcohol consumption goes down once you hit age 65. And many people don't know that, and many people are not thinking that the alcohol is the problem when they start having disrupted sleep, when they start having problems with their memory, when they start having problems with their balance or falling asleep during the day. These kinds of things can be very much related to alcohol and can be very much related, as we talked about before, to benzodiazepines. So we've got that one group that are the hardy survivors, people that have had alcohol as part of their life on through up until age 85, or 65, sorry. We have another group, what we call late-onset group, who began abusing alcohol later on in life. This latter group often finds themselves using alcohol because of circumstances and situations that have changed in their life. Retirement, we mentioned a bit a little while ago, that retirement is a really big deal, and that change in a lifestyle, the change in self-concept, can be quite difficult for people. Next time you go to a party or a social function, listen to how people introduce themselves. The vast majority of people, men and women alike, who are working will introduce themselves in terms of, "Hi, I'm Susan, I'm an addiction psychiatrist. Hi, I'm Bill, I'm a mechanical engineer." We define ourselves often by the role we have in society and in work. When we retire, things get a little bit more awkward. Now I'm retired from, or there is a loss of sense of self. There's sometimes a loss of feelings of importance or purpose in life, and this can create some difficulty with anxiety and depression. So people may find that alcohol is a very good substitute in the beginning, or a very good remedy for feelings of anxiety, of loneliness. If you are in a situation where you are beginning to have the death of friends and family members, losing spouses, even losing children, because now they're at an age that medical conditions and other problems can be creating difficulties for their health. This stress and strain is often a trigger, or at least an entree, for people to begin to use alcohol in a way that they didn't use it before. Because alcohol is absorbed much more quickly in the elderly, especially in women. The same amount of alcohol produces a higher blood alcohol level and a greater degree of intoxication than the same amount of alcohol would have been in younger drinkers. We are seeing a number of retired 70-somethings that are being referred for treatment because they have gotten a DUI. Never before in their life have they gotten a DUI. Now they do. And not only do they have the legal situation, they have the embarrassment, they have the difficulties associated with this change. And it is sometimes related to the fact that they're not recognizing this change in the way alcohol affects them. It's really interesting when we look at folks who come in for treatment for alcoholism or for substance use. 4 out of 5 seniors who seek treatment are coming because of alcohol-related problems. Now, what's really interesting to me is that while alcohol is the substance that brings them into treatment, the family members are often unaware of the fact that their sleep medication, their Ambien, their Lunesta, their Sonata, their Xanax that they take for sleep, or Klonopin, that these medications are alcohol in a pill, that they are also contributing to the problem, and that those medications need to go away as well. Additionally, we see that the pain medications, muscle relaxers, a lot of other things that these older patient may be taking can be contributing to the difficulty that they're experiencing, and a whole new look at their medications and their lifestyle needs to be looked at. When we speak about what's a reasonable amount of alcohol, we talked about now over 65, it's one drink per day, regardless of male or female, and no more than 7 per week. 9% of Medicare beneficiaries 65 years or older drink more than 30 drinks a month and drink more than 4 drinks in any one occasion. This can be a problem, and we have to take a look at the effect that this is having on our elderly population. We have to look at the drug-drug combinations that they're having, and many folks are not paying attention at all to the little sticker that may be on their bottle of prescription medications. Antidepressants, for example, will certainly have a little sticker that says do not use with alcohol. Alcohol seems to be such an easy part of many people's social lives that they aren't even recognizing that alcohol is and can be a problem. Heavy drinking can cause liver damage, can cause heart disease, can increase the risk of developing certain cancers, can damage muscles and bone tissue. Drinking too much can make some health conditions much worse. Alcohol contains a significant amount of sugar. So when you have someone who has later onset diabetes, they may not be considering how much their blood sugar is being affected by the consumption of alcohol. Alcohol can create difficulties for folks who have problems with high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, and we spoke earlier about the problems related to memory and concentration. Alcohol is also a central nervous system depressant, as are the benzodiazepines, and the problem with these substances are that they can make depression worse. So if we have a person who is suffering from depression and they're taking alcohol, this is certainly very likely not only to interfere with their medications, but also in and of itself to be making the depression worse. And adults with major depression are unfortunately much more likely than folks who don't have major depression to be using alcohol and to have problems with alcohol. So we know that all in all, we are having a growing problem with the use of alcohol. One of the things that is interesting to me is the fact that the World Health Organization was concerned about having a healthy lifestyle among the elderly. And they did a report a number of years ago looking at what kinds of things might we want to do to live a healthier life and to live longer. 30 years ago, people weren't expected to live very long at all. And in fact, it was recommended that people not be very active, that exercise might be dangerous. So we are seeing a significant change, and the World Health Organization came up with some interesting recommendations. One of the things that they recommended was playing billiards, playing pool. They thought that this was a very excellent activity for the elderly. It requires some periods of activity and being still. There's not a lot of physical exertion, but it is keeping the mind, the body, and the balance tested and exercised, and that it was relatively safe and innocuous kind of thing. So in their report, they said that they recommended that men between the ages of 70 and 90 play billiards or play pool 4 times a week. One of the things that they were not prepared for as they looked at a group of men who were taking these recommendations, and this was at a study done at the University of Copenhagen that was released back in October of 2014, what happened was these gentlemen were meeting 4 times a week to play pool in order to keep active and to keep busy and to keep socialized. What happened was that playing billiards comes with a certain lifestyle. And the author of the study says, I'm not quite sure this is what the World Health Organization meant when they formulated their active aging policies, because drinking beer became part of what these gentlemen were doing each and every time they met. So they were beginning to develop a significant problem with alcohol because of the recommendation that they play pool. So we have to be careful about how we incorporate alcohol with our healthy aging. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how do you talk to somebody who you think might have a problem with alcohol or medication. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. Thanks for listening.
Hello, this is Michael Daly with Atlanta Healing Center. We know that addiction is a brain disease. Addiction is a family disease. Addiction is a treatable disease. We have a caring professional staff with over 30 years experience to help you and your loved ones in your recovery. You can reach us at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is Dr. George. Join me Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock for Medicine on Call. On Medicine on Call, we talk about more than medicine. It's about how to take control of your mind, body, and spirit.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options, such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
This is Tracy Pearson with Prissy Tomboy. Listen to the Prissy Tomboy radio show every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time as I interview special guests that will inspire adventure and fitness for females.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. This is Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. Today we're talking about addiction, drug and alcohol abuse in the elderly. The Hazleton Foundation has a really awesome blog on their website about how to talk to an older person who you think might have problems with alcohol or medications. So any of you who are struggling with this, wondering what to say, how to say it, what to do, this is a really nice roadmap to help you get through some of those very awkward conversations. A lot of folks will have the idea that, well, they're 70 years old, well, they're 80 years old, might as well let them go. What's the harm in it? Actually, there's a lot of harm, and people can live in a much healthier way if they are active in recovery. Older individuals do very well in addiction treatment. They are able to manage the recovery quite well. In fact, they often manage it better than a young person because an older person has lived a life that has provided them opportunities to develop coping skills, providing them opportunities to have a social network and to have a support and the cognitive ability to make lifestyle changes. It's never too late, and it's important that you not just give up on the person. In fact, older people have the highest recovery rates of all age groups, and this is important to think about it because encouraging them to be clean and sober and do it in a safe way is really helpful. Sometimes family members will say, well, drinking's the only pleasure that my mom has. Why deprive her of the one thing that makes her happy? Remember, alcohol is a depressant. Chances are that the drinking is not making your mother happy at all. Instead, it's causing her misery, depression, remorse, and shame. People can live 15, 20, 25 years past the age of retirement. Removing alcohol can help them live it in a much healthier way with improved physical and emotional health. Now, sometimes doctors not only are contributing to the problem because they're giving benzodiazepines and pain medications and other medications that can cause addiction and impairment and confusion, but there are some physicians still out there who are recommending to our older adults that they go ahead and just have a drink to help them sleep or to calm their nerves or to improve their appetite. This is not a good idea, and it may take some discussion not only with your loved one but also with their prescribing doctor that alcohol is not a good treatment for sleep disorder, poor appetite, or frayed nerves. When you are approaching your loved one, it might be important to think about what are some of the signs and symptoms that might lead you to be concerned. So when you find that the person is drinking in a solitary way, or they're hiding the amount of alcohol that they're using, or they're making excuses for the amount of alcohol, this might be something to raise a red flag for you and have you be a little more concerned. If they become annoyed when you ask them about their alcohol use or try to change the ritual around the 5 o'clock cocktail or drinks with dinner, this might be another red flag. If they are losing interest in activities and hobbies and becoming less social and less comfortable doing things that they used to enjoy, be a little concerned. They often will have changes in their speaking voice, particularly later at night. If you begin to hear slurred words or conversations that don't make sense, or even more concerning are conversations they don't remember the next morning, you need to consider having a discussion with them. Neglecting their appearance, having a marked change in their weight, using mouthwashes and breath mints to cover the smell of alcohol can be one of the warning signs you should be concerned about. So the first thing that you might want to do if you are recognizing a potential problem in a loved one is to consult a addiction counselor, a professional, psychologist, doctor, minister. Often ministers are quite used to having to deal with the disease of alcoholism or addiction, and they often can be a very good resource, particularly if they know your loved one. They can help smooth the waters and make the conversation go a little bit better. Try and get as much education and information as you can. Make sure that you're aware of all of the prescription medications that your loved one is taking and any kind of over-the-counter medications. Be prepared to understand what these medicines are, what they do, what might not be a problem. When you are actually going to have this initial conversation, some general guidelines are helpful. Don't try and talk to a person when they are actively under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Evening time, not a good time to have this conversation. Be gentle, be loving. This is not about you're a bad person. This conversation is about we think that there is a problem and let's try and find a solution. Try not to label what you're seeing, because you may not be correct. There may be some other explanations for the behaviors and changes that you're seeing. So avoid using words like alcoholic or drug addict. Don't be throwing away all of their medications or pouring out their alcohol. Remember, withdrawal from alcohol and from benzodiazepines is potentially life-threatening. You do not want them stopping immediately. Try not to get emotional. Try not to bring up all of the hurts and the pains and the slights. Be factual about what you're reporting and stick to that information. Be direct. Don't treat them like a child, but rather be very specific. This is what I've noticed. This is what I'm worried about. Don't be vague or hint, because that's not going to be helpful. And don't worry, you're going to say some things that will make the person mad. They're probably going to get upset anyway. But just be gentle with yourself, because this is really helpful. On the Hazelden website are actually some conversations, ways in which you can talk to the person language that you might use that would be helpful and get you started on helping your loved one get ready for help. Also, they list some possible responses and some things that you can do if they're not ready for help. All of us make mistakes. All of us struggle. Hopefully, all of us will find a safe and healthy way and a safe and healthy solution. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. This is Detailing Addiction. I look forward to seeing you next week when Professor Marie Kelly will be joining us. Until then, have a safe and healthy week. Thanks for listening.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.